ticked even when it is helpful. 87. Sees personal problems in others as signs of inferiority, weakness, or poor impulse control. 88. Consistently brags or boasts about expensive purchases. Jewelry, toys, properties, cars, etc. 89. At work, repeatedly overstates to management his value and contributions. 90. Very easily sees weaknesses in others and is quick to exploit those weaknesses. 91. Is in a parasitic or exploitative relationship, taking advantage of someone financially, refuses to work or contribute although healthy and capable. 92. Has at least once said that from an early age felt destined for greatness. 93. Seems to be highly dependent on tribute and adoration and will often fish for compliments. 94. Is not a very good listener or only listens when there is a compliment in it for her. 95. Demands that others make changes to suit his needs at their expense or inconvenience. 96. Is cunning and manipulative, seeking always to have the greatest advantage. 97. Doesn't seem to reciprocate in kind with attention, gratitude, or kindness to others. 98. Uses insults to establish superiority, dominance, or control. 99. Has made bogus claims about education or degrees. For example, claiming to have a PhD. 100. Maintains appearance of extravagant lifestyle despite being financially frail or having filed for bankruptcy. 101. Repeatedly fails to see or view things from others' perspective. Lacks empathetic understanding of others and their needs or desires. 102. Likes to be around notable people to bask in their glory or likes to name drop. 103. Thinks that not everyone is worthy to be around her. 104. Has a shallow emotional life and detests when others come to him with their trivial emotional problems. 105. Can be shy and solitary, but nevertheless is arrogant toward others and believes in her own superiority or uniqueness. 106. Has lied about the past, about accomplishments, or to conceal legal or ethical transgressions, including failure to act or notify. 107. Becomes indignant when others fail to show absolute loyalty. 108. Has intentionally kept you or others waiting, and has extended meetings or conversations inconveniencing others. 109. Is never appreciative or satisfied with compensation or perks at work, even though they are generous. 110. Doesn't hesitate to burden others with the trivial, even when others are occupied or attending to more important things. 111. Frantically tries to maintain a youthful body and appearance by overdoing workouts, physical exploits, cosmetics, or surgery. 112. Seems to be proving himself and affirming sexuality by having repeated extramarital affairs. 113. Most of her enjoyment seems to be from the tributes received from others. 114. Has taken pleasure in duping others, including parents, friends, and associates. 115. Rather than feeling happy for others' success, is jealous or petty and begrudges their success. 116. Has quit a relationship or a friendship once it no longer benefited him socially or financially. 117. Has actively looked for a trophy wife or partner to help with career or political ambitions. 118. Tactically plans day or events so as to garner attention and praise. 119. Is unable to identify the needs, wants, desires, and feelings of those closest to her. 120. Is impatient with others. 121. Incessantly talks about himself or his aspirations. 122 tends to discuss personal issues or concerns in inappropriate or expansive detail, oblivious to time constraints or the sensitivities of others. 123 often says things that are hurtful to others, yet shows no remorse. 124, one of these words usually applies to her: snobbish, disdainful, arrogant, patronizing. 125, has criticized those who follow rules or who patiently wait in line. 126, appears to be especially lacking in sadness and mournful longing. 127, is only concerned with getting caught or being shamed in public, not with being ethical. 128, even after many years, you feel like you really don't know this person. 129, has used family or friends to lie on his behalf. 130, is unwilling to acknowledge mistakes, wrongdoings, bad ideas, or perilous actions. Scoring. Count how many statements apply to this individual based on the criteria discussed at the beginning of this checklist. If you find that this individual has 15 to 25 of these features, this is a person who will occasionally take an emotional toll on others and may be difficult to live or work with. If the score is 26 to 65, this indicates that the individual has all the features of and behaves as a narcissistic personality. This person needs help and will cause turmoil in the life of anyone close to him or her. If the score is above 65, this person has a preponderance of the major features of a narcissistic personality and is an emotional, psychological, financial, or physical danger to you or others. Immediate actions. Perhaps the checklist has confirmed for you that what you have long suspected is correct. You may be in a relationship or work with someone who meets the criteria of a narcissist. Perhaps you've been tormented and victimized, and completing the checklist now gives you validation and impetus to better deal with this individual, seek help, or change your situation. Congratulations! You have taken a giant step by educating yourself so that you can more effectively deal with these individuals. What you do now will be based on many things, among them your situation and how this individual scored on the checklist. You may be able to ignore this individual at work, or you may not have a choice. You may have to live with this person, and while this individual may be irritating, he or she may score low enough on the checklist to perhaps be tolerable. But maybe the person scored very high and presents you with the possibility of enduring torment, degradation, or even psychological damage. Only you can decide that. But now you have something concrete to work with as you come to terms with what's happening, whether you do that with friends, clergy, HR, your boss, a mental health professional, social services, or even the police. But no matter what, your first responsibility is to yourself and your loved ones. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you have to stay in a relationship or in an organization where you will be bullied, tormented, or victimized. Do what you have to do to protect yourself. Try to distance yourself from these individuals as much as possible. I know that sometimes this isn't easy to do for a variety of valid reasons, and I have heard them all. In those cases, try to set boundaries for what is permissible or acceptable. But don't be surprised when these boundaries are ignored and the offensive behaviors are repeated. Here is the hard truth. You may need this individual. You may not be able to distance yourself from this individual, and this person may be a family member or a spouse, perhaps even your employer. I understand. But know this, the narcissistic personality will grind you down, and in the end you will suffer emotionally, physically, psychologically, or financially. The higher a person scores on the checklist, the worse it will be. Distance, I have found, is often the best recourse with these individuals. That's the hard truth, and Now you know it too. For additional strategies in dealing with a narcissistic personality, see Chapter 6, Self-Defense Against Dangerous Personalities. Chapter 2, Fasten Your Seatbelts. The Emotionally Unstable Personality. Researching emotionally unstable personalities and talking to people whose lives they've turned upside down should concern all of us. While society and professionals more readily recognize the damage done by other dangerous personalities, such as the predator, see Chapter 4, the havoc wrought by the emotionally unstable personality is rarely appropriately recognized. The damage this personality does tends to be more interpersonal, the kind the criminal system tends to overlook. Yet often we live or work with people like this, and they can cause great harm. This personality's key traits are pervasive emotional instability marked by behaviors that affect their well-being, relationships, and interactions with others. Changeable as the weather and far less predictable, they careen from one end of the emotional spectrum to the other, feeling on top of the world or like a princess one minute, and a victim in the gutter the next. They can be talented, charming, stimulating, and seductive, but they can also quickly turn hostile, impulsive, or even irrational. It is for this personality that the word mercurial was invented. They have an overwhelming need to be loved and to feel secure, but little ability to nourish or nurture healthy relationships. Get too close and they feel suffocated. Give them space and they feel abandoned. Tragically, their inchoate quest for stability can lead to harm for themselves and others. When I hear of yet another celebrity who's getting divorced for the 5th, 6th, 7th, or in the case of Elizabeth Taylor, the 8th time, I have to wonder, is this person emotionally unstable? Did the spouse have a clue? Did Richard Burton, who returned to Elizabeth Taylor a second time, think things would get better? They didn't, and they usually don't. People can be drawn to the intelligence, energy, seductiveness, or beauty of these personalities, viewing these characteristics as positive attributes for a successful relationship. But when they look below the veneer, beneath the managed public persona, they'll find the true emotionally unstable self. At home, at the office, or on the movie set, these bright but highly intense people disrupt, interfere, or become difficult to the point where nothing gets done or there is irreconcilable acrimony. Every biography you read about Marilyn Monroe attests to her emotionally unstable personality that adversely affected her and almost everyone she worked with. Similar to narcissistic personalities, emotionally unstable personalities must be catered to. They push boundaries, break rules, and have a need to be the center of attention. But while narcissists do these things because they feel they're perfect and entitled to special treatment, emotionally unstable personalities do them because they need constant support and affirmation, even from children, to feel good about themselves. Emotionally needy, they cling tentacle-like to those who will supply their needs and tolerate their behavior. But that kind of neediness is demanding of even the most giving person, and these individuals tend to be very demanding. If you're involved with someone like this, be prepared for a life of extremes, exasperation, and exhaustion. The degree of turmoil depends on the person you're involved with and where his or her pathology lies on a spectrum, as each person is different. Some are less hostile and more tolerable, while others may be self-destructive or toxic to co-workers or even to their own children. At the very least, they'll be irritating and contentious. At worst, you'll experience profound emotional trauma and maybe even violence. As one psychologist described to me the excruciating stress of dealing with emotionally unstable personalities, they don't always kill you, but they always seem to have a finger in your eye. Many factors may contribute to making these personalities the way they are. There may be neurological or even biological reasons for their behavior, or it may be a result of past trauma, drug use, abuse, or parental indifference. No one knows for certain, though all of these must surely contribute, including hereditary factors. What we do know, what has been reported to me and what my experience has taught me, is that these individuals eventually drain others of patience, understanding, compassion, and comprehension. Through their behavior and their emotional instability, they strain relationships with family, friends, co-workers, and managers to the breaking point. Eventually, those around them just give up. They have nothing more to give. Some have reported being so emotionally taxed by an emotionally unstable personality that they're no longer capable of empathy or love. As one husband told me after many years of being married to a woman who was emotionally unstable, "I tried everything. I rolled over for her, but living with her was hell. She made me think of committing suicide, and that was the final straw. I was running on empty, thinking of hurting myself just because of her." I have heard this countless times over the past 35 years, both as an FBI special agent and later as a behavioral consultant. These same sentiments have been echoed by others, including my late mentor Phil Quinn, Ph.D. From Dr. Quinn's perspective as both a Catholic priest and a psychologist, he was startled to learn early in his practice how people who had never thought about hurting anyone were driven to think about hurting themselves or wishing harm on someone else because of the other person's emotionally unstable personality. Shocking? Yes, and a telling indicator of just how painful and damaging life with an emotionally unstable personality can be. After I posted an article on dangerous personalities on my Psychology Today blog, one reader wrote to me privately saying, "I just want my mother to finally die. She stole my youth and all sense of security. I want the one person who has never defended me to at last die so that I can rest, so that I don't have to be on guard anymore." I was shocked to read this in her long, articulate letter, until I saw the things her mother had done and how this daughter had been tormented. Then I understood why she would feel that way. Early in my law enforcement career, older police officers told me of the sad phenomenon of people being driven to hurt others because of how they were treated, and how it was common in many of the domestic calls they handled. That's the distressing reality when you deal with the more virulent form of the emotionally unstable personality. Their extreme behavior causes extreme reactions. The healthy are driven to unhealthy thoughts or actions. And while these thoughts can be understood, harming oneself or others can never be justified, nor is it excusable. These individuals need help every bit as much as those who are affected by them. The way of the emotionally unstable personality. There's such variety in how people with this personality behave that they're often difficult to detect or recognize. Some live in quiet pain and desperation. Others habitually look to argue or fight with everyone, especially with their spouse, whom they torment, sometimes violently. And there's the tempestuous seductress who's sexually alluring but so demanding that her clinginess becomes a turnoff, and much else in between. Regardless of how the instability manifests, emotional highs and lows are the hallmark. While all of us feel moody, irritable, or anxious at times, these dangerous personalities feel this way far too often. They can have good days, weeks, or even months, but over time, their primary mode of reacting to the world is evidenced by emotional instability and mercurial outbursts. That wouldn't matter if they lived alone in a cabin in the woods, but the effects are usually felt by someone close by. A parent, sibling, lover, spouse, child, or fellow employee. And there's the rub. The fundamental instability of this personality destabilizes others emotionally, psychologically, and even physically. While teenagers may be moody and experiment with risky behaviors, teenagers transition out of this stage. The emotionally unstable personality is persistently unstable over time, and this undermines relationships. While many of these individuals are often aware of painful issues from their past that contribute to their erratic behavior, they seem powerless over their emotions and behavior. Even therapists find them difficult to deal with. You try to reach out to them as best you can, but it's never good enough. Interacting with this type of personality has been described as being on an emotional roller coaster. You're their hero one minute and chewing gum on the sole of their shoe the next. Many on the receiving end of this volatility have told me of feeling both incredulity and despair as they wonder, where did that come from? Was that really necessary? And when will it happen again? The child of such a parent quickly learns to constantly assess the parent's mood. How is she today? Becomes everyone's whispered watchword. It saddens me to see how early these children begin to walk on eggshells because they know that out of that bedroom on any given morning can walk a saint or a monster bent on inflicting pain. When we read about children who want to divorce their parents, and many have, or who want early emancipation before the age of 18, it's often because they've reached their limit for dealing with this kind of emotionally unstable personality. These radical steps are all they have left for their own mental well-being. Enough is enough. At work, we tiptoe around these unstable personalities much like children. Is the boss having a good day, or is he yelling or throwing things like yesterday? People will literally hide in the bathroom or call in sick to avoid dealing with these volatile individuals. Their effect on an organization or a business can be demoralizing, which is why more and more businesses are becoming less tolerant of the emotionally unstable personality who acts out at work. Some organizations have gone so far as to enact what has come to be known as Sutton's Rule, establishing an asshole-free environment or zone at work. As Robert Sutton points out in his New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller, The No Asshole Rule, Building a Civilized Workplace and Surviving One That Isn't, these individuals do more harm than good. It's better to just get rid of them than hurt your organization. To emotionally unstable personalities, dating relationships are all about intensity. Things may escalate to raging arguments followed, at their insistence, by rabid make-up sex. It's stunning how fast they can go from vicious arguing to hot sex. For the emotionally unstable personality, this isn't a problem. But for the rest of us, as many people have reported to me, the roller coaster ride soon palls. And the more acrimony they experience, the less intimacy they want, and the less contact they want. Thus, the die is cast for a failed relationship. Hypersensitive. These personalities often don't take criticism well, are very sensitive to real or perceived slights, and can turn on you when they feel insulted. They're quick to feel victimized. So they immediately demonize others or accuse them of disloyalty based on unfounded suspicions. In one case, reported to me by one of my university students, a mother ostracized her three grown daughters for months because they went to the movies without her. She accused them of conspiring to isolate her and of using the opportunity to badmouth her behind her back about how she reared them. These are typical roles these personalities play, reflecting the highs and lows of their emotional state. They're the queen or king, wanting to be worshipped by all, or the victim or outcast. No one wants to play with me. Everyone's against me. These three sisters bent over backward to reach out to their mother to reassure her that they meant no harm by going to the movies without her. All to no avail. She sulked, act injured for weeks, and wouldn't talk to them. This was par for the course. Mother's hypersensitivity to slights had been going on ever since her daughters could remember. And that's the problem. Hypersensitivity is this personality's default setting. And it's tiresome, manipulative, and emotionally draining. But that's not the worst of it. Unstable personalities are perennial wound collectors. They stockpile and are constantly on the alert for social slights, mistreatment, incidences of inadvertent forgetfulness or faux pas in order to later unleash reminders of them like arrows to hurt others. They're notorious for repeatedly bringing up examples from the distant past, sometimes decades old, of things that you've done, forgotten, or said that, justifiably or not, hurt them in some way. And because they're so fragile, their list of grievances can be quite long and petty, as they tend never to forgive human frailty in others. They are, in some ways, as the renowned criminologist Dr. Leonard Torito put it so well, victims in search of an oppressor. Needy and demanding, without boundaries. To say they're high maintenance is an understatement. Unstable personalities have a childlike need to feel special. They crave the spotlight. Whether it's having all eyes on them, think how actresses behave on the red carpet, or having your undivided attention when they're your client, patient, boss, friend, or lover. They'll even create divisiveness between others so they can sneak in and co-opt your attention. They divide to conquer with the skill of a surgeon. They have such a need for others that they will fawn over or idolize you in an infantile sort of way as the most wonderful lover, the best doctor, the most talented professional, or the most perfect friend ever. But should you fail them in some way, become disinterested or distracted, or if they tire of you, they'll turn on you and you'll instantly be demonized. It's remarkable how quickly they can shift to cold indifference, ignoring everything positive that has happened in the past, and focusing only on their needs, your singular failure, or a perceived slight, no matter how trivial. Often they alienate the very people they seek by pushing the rules or boundaries, becoming too inquisitive, too demanding, too personal, too clingy, or too needy. At home or in business, if you give in to them, they'll walk all over you, always wanting more of your time, special treatment, attention, or rule-bending. Refuse to accommodate, and you're accused of being uncaring, bad, or disloyal. In a way, their reaction is similar to how young children react when they suddenly rant, "I don't love you anymore," when they don't get their way. For these personalities, there really are no boundaries or social conventions. Because they fear abandonment, when they feel needy, they need you now. Expect calls, emails, or text messages with no regard for your schedule, convenience, wishes, or business propriety. God help you if they get your cell phone number or the direct line to your office. Physicians tell me that these personalities show up without scheduling an appointment, demanding to be treated immediately. When they're told this is not proper protocol, they become indignant and lash out at physician and staff. I was told of a case where one such patient slammed the door so hard that pictures fell off the wall in front of shocked patients. From adoration to fuming hatred in one instant, standard operating procedure for the emotionally unstable personality. Some have been known to follow, surveil, read correspondence, eavesdrop on calls, and drop by unexpectedly to test loyalty and fidelity not only of lovers and spouses, but also even of their own children. They've been known to travel great distances to follow a lover who has moved out. Or they follow their beloved to and from work with eerie and persistent diligence. In essence, they become stalkers, but they can also become saboteurs. Emotionally unstable personalities have been known to commit acts of vandalism to cars and homes that can run into the thousands of dollars. Sometimes they barge into offices to confront ex-lovers, or they leave hurtful, acrimonious notes on dashboards or voicemail. Now, with social media, they can be even more destructive and libelous. Nothing is off-limits when this personality is roused. Even laws don't matter. In April 2000, a Gulf Coast, Florida police department asked me to help with a peculiar case. A woman I will call Sheila was alleging that she had been raped 3 times in 5 years, each time by a total stranger as she was getting into her car. The detective assigned to the case wanted me to profile the whole case, including the victim, as 3 rapes in 5 years happening to the same woman seemed improbable in a city that had statistically few rapes. The first question that was asked of me was one I could not answer. Was she lying? As I told the detective, lying is very difficult to detect, but there are some things we can ask to assist us in determining the truth. After reviewing the 3 cases, I noticed that the allegations always came either in late July or early August. Each time, the emergency room doctors were not able to find any semen for examination. She had been specific in her descriptive details of the perpetrator, and each time an all-points bulletin had been issued, resulting in the stopping of numerous individuals matching the description and the car he was supposed to have been driving. All without success. When it was my turn to talk to her, there was little more I could ask, so I said, "Let's go to the police garage where you can demonstrate the details of the encounter using your own vehicle." It was here where things began to fall apart. Her story sounded credible when told, but when asked to demonstrate where she was in relation to the suspect at all times, she seemed puzzled. She contradicted details she had been adamant about, or the story did not make logical sense. For example, she said that at one point the suspect, who had a knife, left her and went all the way around the car and opened the passenger door. All she would have had to do to evade him was press the lock button. When these inconsistencies and issues were brought to her attention, she began to sob and eventually admitted that it was all a lie. There had been no rapes. Why would she cause a city to spend tens of thousands of dollars in investigative time, or cause numerous individuals to be pulled over, searched, and interviewed as potential suspects? Because she was an emotionally unstable personality. Something that was later confirmed by talking to her workmates, friends, and family. At the height of summer, during school break, she was a teacher, she needed attention. Every time she called 911, the police would respond, as would the ever-attentive paramedics. The city's victim advocate would also be sent to her home, and friends and family would rally around her. In the emergency room, she received even more attention, and a detective would be assigned to work with her in case of an arrest or prosecution. A single phone call would bring attention that would last for weeks upon weeks. It was recommended by a consulting clinician that the city not prosecute her if she would merely quit her job with the city school system and move. After all, she could have been prosecuted for her false allegations. Here again is an example of what happens when you are dealing with the emotionally unstable personality, a personality that is both needy and not married to the truth. Manipulative. This personality will cry, rage, guilt trip, feign illness, seduce, switch sides, flip-flop on issues, or engage in risky behaviors to get love, attention, or their own way. No to them is negotiable, especially if they know that, with childlike persistence, no will become maybe and eventually yes. They may lie and connive for attention, such as telling a boyfriend that they're pregnant when they aren't in an attempt to hold on to a dying relationship, or claiming they had sex with someone else in the perverse hope of garnering greater fidelity. Their ability to deceive and manipulate is breathtaking in scope and capacity. And when it comes to manipulating others, it can be argued nothing works as dramatically as the threat of suicide. These personalities can be very dangerous to themselves, especially when they threaten self-harm or make actual attempts to harm themselves. These episodes may be more prevalent during times of distress when they feel alone, or if they feel they're about to be abandoned. It's always unsettling when threats of suicide are made, but the best way to handle such a threat is for you to stay calm. Your first reaction should be to tell the unstable person that you will call 911, or the police, fire department, or ambulance, and then do so without hesitation. Whether the suicide intention is feigned or real, this is a matter for professionals, and this personality's behavior leaves you no choice. This is way beyond the average person's expertise to handle and should be left to professionals. In my experience, once the police or 911 has been called, these personalities may change their demeanor. Or you may find that, as you're about to dial, they back away from the threat. Make no mistake, threats of suicide or self-harm should always be taken seriously. You are not a therapist. So it's best to leave this situation to a professional to handle, as these unstable individuals can hurt themselves, and have done so. By calling for professional help, ethically you have done the right thing, and you also have not allowed yourself to be manipulated. You are not a puppet and do not deserve to be manipulated, no matter how sick or in pain someone may be. One man I talked to at a conference said his wife threatened suicide or threatened to harm herself if she didn't get her way almost every time they had a big argument. According to him, she had threatened suicide maybe 24 times or more over the course of their painful marriage. Not once did he think to call emergency services, each time thinking this would be the last time or not wanting to call attention to himself and his family. Surprised? You shouldn't be. People will do what you will tolerate, and if you engage them or are benignly or naively permissive, as he was, emotionally unstable personalities will push those buttons to control you. Why? Because they can. Because for them it is so easy. Because they don't exercise self-restraint, and only qualified professionals can help them. But only if they are willing to be helped. If they can't get what they want and have exhausted manipulation, some will kill what they can't have. Remember, the behavior of these individuals exerts on a continuum or spectrum. Some are just nasty to live with, but others can be brutal, and under certain circumstances murderous if they don't get their way. Just read the newspaper of any major city and look for news stories in which perennial but escalating turmoil in a domestic setting leads predictably to greater instability, greater turmoil, violence, and all too often death. The tragic death in 1998 of comedian Phil Hartman serves as a reminder of the danger of living with an emotionally unstable personality. His wife Bryn shot him and then herself. For years, friends had been aware of her emotional instability and the turmoil it was causing in the marriage, something their two surviving children will forever contend with. Sadly, there are many examples like this. Irrational, all-or-nothing thinking. Don't expect emotionally unstable personalities to respond to logic when they're upset or acting out. They tend to react emotionally rather than logically when stressed or critiqued. Their thinking is binary, all or nothing, good or bad, black or white, there are no shades of gray. You're either with them or against them, friend or foe, and sadly that includes children. They will publicly test your loyalty in front of others by asking questions such as, "Are you with me or with her?" Whose side are you on? These obvious manipulative acts are annoying and embarrassing, orchestrated to test your allegiance as if you were back in grade school. Yes, that's how needy they can be. Their behavior is as unpredictable as their thinking. You can never guess what they'll do. One father told me of packing the family in the car for a 3-day vacation and driving more than 100 miles when his wife, a very emotionally unstable personality, kept escalating a small incident. Sensing that the children were siding with the father, she began to lash out at the kids verbally. What came next shocked even he who was used to these outbursts. With anger and rage on her face, she barked, "Turn this fucking car around or I will throw myself out." As she said this, she opened the car door and leaned out. The kids were screaming and scared as they were on I-95 heading toward Orlando, driving in excess of 65 miles per hour. Another vacation ruined, kids shaking and in tears, hotel deposits lost, all because he had forgotten to pack her favorite suntan lotion. There's no excuse for this kind of behavior. That traumatizing event stayed with those kids and with him for years. Humans don't have erase buttons, and when children witness events like this, they pay a price for living with an emotionally unstable personality. Some unstable personalities can be gullible and susceptible to fads. Many seek out gurus or cult leaders who can provide a rigid belief system. Cults are attractive to unstable personalities because of the attention they're given by the cult members, the unconditional acceptance they receive, the group bonding that is common, and the structure that's provided that they can't seem to get in normal society. This susceptibility to cults and charlatans, however, makes them vulnerable to exploitation and often leads to arguments with family or loved ones who challenge their adopted lifestyle, seeing that they're wasting their time, money, or opportunities. Think for a minute about the kind of people commune leader, habitual criminal, and convicted killer Charles Manson attracted, and you get the picture. Emotionally unstable individuals who think Charles Manson is okay. Gullible and susceptible does not even begin to cover it. Words that describe the emotionally unstable personality. Here are the uncensored words that victims use to describe the emotionally unstable personality. Abnormal, alluring, aloof, angry, ass, asshole, atomic, beguiling, bewildering, bitch, bitter, borderline, calamitous, catastrophic, chameleon, chaotic, clingy, cold, complainer, complex, conflict, confusing, conniving, consternation, controlling, coquettish, crazy, creepy, critical, criticizes, cruel, cunning, dangerous, deceptive, dehumanizing, dejected, delusional, demanding, demeaning, denigrating, depressed, depressive, desperate, despondent, destructive, disconnected, disillusioned, disorganized, disquieting, distant, diva, draining, dramatic, dysfunctional, emotional, empty, envious, erratic, exasperating, exciting, exhausting, explosive, fearful, flirt, flirtatious, freaky, frightening, frustrated, frustrating, histrionic, horrendous, horrible, hysterical, imbalanced, impossible, impulsive, inappropriate, incomplete, inconsistent, incredible, instability, intense, intricate, irrational, irresponsible, irritable, irritating, lascivious, lecherous, lethal, liar, lies, lively, loca, loco, lustful, malevolent, malignant, masochistic, mean, mercurial, miserable, moody, morbid, nasty, negativistic, neglectful, neurotic, nuts, nutty, nymphomaniac, odd, painful, perplexing, pitiful, prick, problematic, psycho, queen, rage, relentless, resentful, risky, sadistic, salacious, sarcastic, scary, schemer, seductive, seductress, seesaw, seething, sexual, sexy, short-fused, sick, sickening, special, stalker, storm, suffocating, suicidal, tantrums, temperamental, tempestuous, tense, threatening, tiresome, tormented, tormentor, torn, tornado, train wreck, tumultuous, turbulent, unappreciative, unbridled, uncaring, undependable, unforgiving, ungrateful, unhappy, unhinged, unpredictable, unreasonable, unreliable, unstable, untrusting, unyielding, vengeful, victim, vindictive, violent, vixen, volatile, weird, whirlwind, wicked. Impetuous, impulsive, sensation-seeking. Whether to feel more alive or to escape feeling bad, these personalities can be reckless and impulsive, deciding on a whim to engage in behavior that puts them or others at risk, saying and doing things that are improper, offensive, or seductive at the most inappropriate times. They may be perceived as troublemakers, problematic, a bastard, a prick, a drama queen, or out of control. Often they crave attention through sexual exploits. When reality TV personality and Playboy model Anna Nicole Smith died, multiple men stepped up to claim paternity of her child, and it appeared they all had been intimate with her. These personalities may find sex a formidable elixir, and so they engage in sexual behavior that can have dangerous consequences. They may have scores upon scores of lovers with all the attendant pathologies, including venereal diseases, jealousies, unwanted pregnancies, and violence, but little warmth or love. The movie Looking for Mr. Goodbar was about such a person. Teresa Dunn, played by Diane Keaton, is chronically empty, using sex to garner intimacy but never feeling fulfilled. They might hook up with bad boys or run with the wrong crowd. That is the emotionally unstable personality at its saddest. For a parent, the emotional drain of witnessing a young adult child's life misspent or on the edge of danger is horrendous. The unstable woman may gravitate to the law-breaking predator. Remember Bonnie Parker, who ran away with Clyde Barrow, who together formed the notorious duo Bonnie and Clyde. By all accounts, she was an emotionally unstable personality, and it showed in her behavior, which led directly to her tragic death. If alcohol or drug abuse becomes their method of dealing with the stresses of the world, their decision-making will be further skewed by chemical dependence, and their health may be compromised in other ways as well. Some turn to impulsive, pathological, or destructive behaviors that on the surface may not seem so terrible. Yet serial shoplifting, running away, gambling, binge eating, reckless driving, and bulimia, to name some, have terrible collateral effects on these individuals, their families, and society. These personalities can veer into compulsive pleasure or pain-seeking behaviors. For them, sadly, these might be one and the same. It's not unusual for some to engage in self-abuse, such as cutting themselves, pressing lit cigarettes to their skin, picking at scabs, pulling out their hair, even banging their head on the wall to feel something, or to blot out a feeling. They sometimes speak of being bored or of feeling a pervasive emptiness. Marilyn Monroe often spoke to her various therapists and friends of this chronic emptiness that no one could fill, despite having many admirers, lovers, and husbands. Then there are those who habitually seek to aggravate others or want to argue or pick fights. One senses that they actually derive pleasure from antagonizing or fighting with others. Some clinicians have described it as a very pathologically sadistic need to injure, coupled with a masochistic need to partake in a cycle of acrimony and discord, so that they feel something. I asked one such personality, "Why do you treat him like that?" Her answer was so revealing, "Because," she said, "that is the only way I get a rise out of him. That is the only time I see him come alive." And she said it with a smile. Their effect on you. It's easy to be engulfed by this personality's compelling blend of hero worship and neediness, but in the end you'll feel mentally and emotionally drained by these individuals' ups and downs, manipulations, and outbursts. When they feel down, you'll be reassuring them. When their risky behavior gets them in trouble, you'll be rescuing them. When you disappoint them by not providing what they need, you'll be the target of their rage. The closer you are, the more likely you'll be in their crosshairs. as they tend to attack the very people they claim to love. They can run through money breathtakingly quickly, buying clothes, drugs, or sex, or by gambling. If they get picked up for driving under the influence, fighting, drug possession, or sexual solicitation, there will be legal fees and bail. They're apt to cajole you for loans till they can get back on their feet, or they may steal your money to get high or seek other thrills. If they're wealthy, you'll read about how they went through millions of dollars living it up. If they're not, then you and I will be the ones to bail them out. People involved with these personalities feel constantly hyper-alert, unable to relax and enjoy the good times and dreading the bad spells. They're not living their own life so much as living in fear of these personalities' moods. What will set them off? Will they blow up? Will they hit the child who comes home with a bad grade? Will they steal what isn't theirs? Will they flirt shamelessly with people they shouldn't? Many have told me that from the moment they got involved with an emotionally unstable personality, they had to be on guard or constantly prepared to defend themselves, their actions, and eventually their sense of self-worth. When you live with someone like this, as relatives often report, you may have physical symptoms of anxiety and chronic stress. After a while, you mirror the unstable person's roller coaster emotions, as your limits are breached repeatedly and all you're doing is just trying to keep up. Resisting the manipulations and maintaining proper boundaries are exhausting. Many report sleep problems, depression, behaving in ways they never behaved before, and arguing as never before. This personality's rage can escalate from verbal to physical, throwing or destroying things, hitting or slapping others, or harshly punishing children. A woman once reported to me how her mother used to beat her with a spatula almost daily as a child. Then there's the executive who arrived home to find his wife had slashed all of his business suits with a box cutter over an argument the night before. Or how about not just a plate of spaghetti, but a whole pot of sauce thrown at the wall? Others report treasured mementos, gifts, or even knives going flying. It's hard to imagine things like this happening, but they do. And then there are the incidents where guns are fired in anger. As any police officer will tell you, domestic calls are dangerous precisely because often the people involved are emotionally unstable, and they may become further disturbed by drugs or alcohol. By now, the cruelty of movie star Joan Crawford toward her adopted daughter Christina Crawford is well known. If you haven't read Crawford's book, Mommy Dearest, I recommend you take a look. But not before bedtime, or you may have a restless night. That is what life with an emotionally unstable personality is like. This personality's instability can infect entire groups, as no one in the family, on the team, or at work wants to be on the receiving end of the vitriol. Everyone walks on eggshells, afraid to say no or be the bearer of bad news. Add testosterone to the mix and you have a higher potential for danger and violence. All too frequently, these are the men who beat up their spouses on the weekend or when they walk through the front door. Police officers are familiar with these domestic calls. These are usually repeat scenarios featuring the same cast of characters, unstable personalities who pick fights, punch, tackle, choke, smother, bind, or burn spouses as a matter of routine. It makes them somehow feel good. That is the sadistic side of this personality. Can associating with this personality be life-threatening? Not always, but yes. Remember, they dread abandonment. If they can't have you, they may decide no one else can. Just take a look at the case of Jodi Arias, who made headlines during her trial in 2013 for brutally killing her ex-lover Travis Alexander in 2008, making Glenn Close's character Alex Forrest in the 1987 movie Fatal Attraction seem harmless. There is no way her victim, Travis Alexander, would have been brutally killed. She stabbed him multiple times, slit his throat, and for good measure shot him in the head. but for his association with this emotionally unstable personality who could not deal with abandonment. This is one case that became notorious because of the television coverage, but yearly in the United States there are thousands of cases where the emotionally unstable personality violently goes after a lover, or former lover, all too often ending in injury or death. The emotionally unstable personality in relationships. Like narcissists, unstable personalities move in fast when dating. But while narcissists do it for dominance, these personalities do it for stability and the emotional high of feeling adored. They want that feeling to go on forever and may push hard for commitment. But even when they get what they want, an emptiness persists that no one and nothing seems to ease. They can go over the top in their desperate efforts to bond, flirting outrageously or making implausible or outrageous statements. One man I spoke to reported to me how within minutes of meeting an individual who, as it turned out, was an emotionally unstable personality, she just blurted out of the blue, "You have no idea how much you mean to me." He elaborated further. She actually lingered there, holding my hand almost too long, leaning in too close, embarrassing me in front of others, telling me how special I was in her eyes, and that she would be dreaming of me later. This was at a business meeting. Needless to say, he was aghast. It's not surprising, given these individuals' neediness, how much such statements sound like those of a smitten seventh grader. What's surprising is how often people fall for it, something this personality knows and exploits. Sadly, what no one realizes is that the object of this outsized affection will in time feel suffocated and struggle desperately to get extricated from this clingy person. At first, there may be hot sex and idealizing, but with the inevitable fall from the high precipice, things devolve into irritability and endless acrimony. Try to leave, however, and the unstable personality becomes frantic, fighting to keep you even while lashing out and devaluing you. The fact that you're at work won't stop this personality from barging into your office and causing a scene, nor from calling dozens of times per hour, nor from scratching your car door at work, nor from calling your boss to tell her that you are a slut or a pig. Anyone who's lived this will tell you it's surreal. The person screams, yells, and calls you names, but doesn't want you to leave. Even if you manage to end the relationship, unstable personalities still want you to remain loyal. They may stalk you, read your mail, threaten you, beat you up, enter your home, go through your things, or confront your current date. Nicole Brown Simpson reported some of these experiences to the police for years, but little was done until she was killed. O.J. Simpson, according to Nicole, simply could not let go of her. Even after their divorce, he would come over, threaten her, and beat her up. The police photo showing her facial trauma attests to the violent side of this dangerous, emotionally unstable personality. They may harass you through your parents, friends, or social media. If they ever took or somehow obtained pictures of you naked or doing anything that compromises you, these images will be used against you. If you can imagine it, or even if you can't, they will do it. One woman reported to me that new boyfriends would find notes on their car windows from her ex-boyfriend telling them what a whore and a slut she was. Women involved with such men may think, "He'll get better," or "This will be the last time," or "I can fix him." They can't, and most likely these individuals won't change. A female police officer I know told me it took her 3 years to break up with someone like this who would occasionally beat her up. Even this trained law enforcement professional found herself emotionally trapped, embarrassed to seek help, vested in someone she thought she could fix. She couldn't. It can happen to anyone, and I repeat, it never gets better, unless the unstable personality makes heroic efforts to change. And that rarely happens. If you have children and are dating this kind of personality, you may be putting not just yourself but your children at risk of psychological and possibly physical danger. I am speaking from my law enforcement experience when I say that the very nature of the emotionally unstable personalities puts children